Chapter 48. "You've done well," Captain Saruman said, eyeing the hull retrieved from the surface. "I'm sorry we weren't able to salvage as much as we'd hoped from the frontmost section, but it looked like the protective spells simply weren't strong enough for the intensity of the impact."
"It's to be expected," the captain replied.
"Now go clean up and get some food. You've both had a long day of it." Marbon and his human friend nodded and left the captain to survey his booty.
"He didn't seem to take the loss of part of the cargo very hard," Charlie said as they walked to their respective quarters to shed their dirty garments and gather clean ones.
"He's a practical man. Sometimes ships simply don't hold together as well as we expect them to. In this case, he was able to keep the majority of the cargo safe and intact, and he got a fair amount of prisoners in the deal as well. It was just the sections that were scuttled that proved troublesome. Hell, he had probably already written them off and was happy there was anything worth salvaging."
"And there was quite a bit, in fact."
"Yeah, fortunate bit of business, that was. All right, I'm going to grab some food. You coming?"
"I'll catch up. I need to grab a quick shower first."
"Suit yourself. I'm grabbing mine after. I'm starving. I'll save your spot. Just don't take too long. You don't want the new prisoners to eat before the crew, after all."
"Of course not. Pecking order and all."
"Exactly."
"Cool, I'll see you down there then."
Marbon peeled off, heading for the galley to fill his belly. Charlie, on the other hand, freed himself of the uncomfortable pirate raiding gear, grabbing his regular clothes before trotting off to the shower compartment. He was thrilled to find the others had already cycled through hours before. He may have been one of them now, but there was something deeply unsettling about watching the red swirls of blood flowing into the drains. The blood of the men and women they killed in their raid gradually washed from their bodies. Alone in the hot water, however, Charlie could feel the strain of the day gradually ease from his shoulders and neck. In no time, he was clean, refreshed, and ready for a bowl of whatever the hell that mystery stuff they were serving was. Clothed in his own attire, he felt surprisingly good as he walked to dine with his friend and recount the day's adventures. He'd even properly explain Christmas to his alien friend, though the idea of a magical fat man on a flying sleigh would probably seem more rational to him than that of a giant robotic man.
"There you are. I was going to wait, but I figured you wouldn't mind," Marbon said, tucking into what appeared to be his second bowl of slop. "I got you one, but it was getting cold, so..."
"It's okay. I'll go grab a fresh one," Charlie said with a little grin as he diverted and headed toward the mess line.
He felt his stomach rumble with anticipation as he grabbed a heaping serving for himself, slipping to the front of the line ahead of the prisoners, as was his prerogative now that he'd been promoted to actual crew. Amazingly, the mystery food he had so recently barely been able to get down had become almost appetizing.
Almost.
"Just need some hot sauce is all," he mused. "Going to have to see if a reasonable facsimile exists on one of our next stops." He carried his metal tray back to his usual spot, a few of the new prisoners throwing a healthy amount of stink eye at the man who had just cut in line. In his regular attire, he figured it was to be expected. He didn't look much like a pirate, minus the usual accoutrements. It was just one more thing he'd learned to take in stride.
"You see the new batch?" Marbon asked.
"Yeah," he replied as he took his seat. "Seemed to be a pretty rugged crew compared to the last few."
"Agreed, and they fought well. I know the captain holds that in high regard, despite losing a few men."
Charlie observed the new group as he ate. It was still an odd feeling, surveying the fresh meat joining them on the ship. Captured fodder to replenish the ranks of those killed in the course of their piracy. It was an efficient system, he had to admit, but it was still strange, thinking he was just a labor prisoner a few short weeks ago. And even though Charlie was officially part of the crew now, he still wore the collar of Captain Saruman. No matter what anyone said, he was a slave. Just a slave who was afforded a great deal of freedom so long as he was in his owner's service. Some of the pirates, however, were not wearing the telltale collars. Truly free men who were living the life of piracy of their own volition. Some had joined up when the captain required specialized crew and offered them enough coin. Others had gained their freedom after years of labor and service, though none would tell him exactly how long he might have to fight for Saruman before he, too, might earn his for himself.
What fascinated him was that most of the men were glad participants in Captain Saruman's piracy. Given the choice between death or a pirate life, they had chosen the latter and not looked back. It was, as Charlie had mentioned to Marbon, similar to the way the Roman Legion on his home planet had functioned.
Join or die, eh? It seems our captain would have gotten along well with your Romans.
It would seem so, Charlie agreed. Across the galley, one of the new captives, a thin young man with faintly yellow skin and a close-shorn head, stumbled and fell as another captive from his ship shoved him out of the way. The young man's shoulders slumped, but he took the abuse, quietly rising to his feet, only to be shoved down again by another of the captured crew. Marbon's grave face flushed with anger.
We are pirates, not cowards. Attacking the defenseless has no honor. It is beneath us, he said, rising to his feet. I'll be back in a minute, he said, crossing the room to have words with the newcomers.
The abused man may have been subject to mistreatment aboard their ship, but they were all captives now, and none, save the captain, would be beating on them. A shadow loomed over Charlie.
You're in my seat, the stocky man said.
He looked up calmly. No one would be foolish enough to start trouble on Captain Saruman's ship.
Sorry, you must be new. I always sit here, but you're welcome to join me.
The man shoved him hard, sending him falling to the deck, then swiped his tray off the table and onto the floor.
I said it's my seat.
He was not sitting down.
Oh, hell, the guy wants to get in a pissing match,
Charlie silently bemoaned as he got to his feet, picking up his tray and placing it back on the table. Look, I can see you were just captured, and I get it, you're angry. But the thing is, the captain doesn't like disruptions on the ship. So why don't you just... The man swung hard, but Charlie had seen the telegraphed roundhouse coming a mile away, easily dodging the blow.
Listen, I'm serious. The captain won't put up with any.
The man dove at him, tackling him in a rage. That Charlie had not seen coming. The two rolled on the ground, the larger man throwing heavy-handed punches, but not managing to land any of consequence.
Stop it, Charlie growled, bucking the man off and scrambling back to his feet. You're going to get us both in trouble.
No respite was given. Instead, the attack continued and increased in ferocity.
Shit, of course, he's new here. The captain didn't give him a translation spell yet. He doesn't understand me.
Charlie did his best to avoid the onslaught, but until someone with high enough rank decided to activate his attacker's shock collar, he would be forced to defend himself. And from the look of things, his assailant had more than just a beating in mind. This one was out for blood. Faster and faster the attacks came, and Charlie was already somewhat cornered by the location of his favorite table, far away from the others and close to the wall. It had prevented him from being taken by surprise when he first arrived, but now he saw the one flaw in his seating choice. He had no easy avenue to evade the unlikely assault. A pair of sturdy metal mugs swung at his head, the improvised cudgels swinging hard in the enraged man's hands. Charlie desperately snatched up his tray to block the onslaught, but the force snapped the cheap metal in half, leaving him gripping two jagged fragments of his improvised shield. The man smiled, wicked intentions in his eyes, and pulled a small knife from his waistband. Somehow, the others had missed him when processing him into the ship, and now Charlie would die because of it. The knife flashed out, and Charlie slapped it aside with a piece of tray, but the attack persisted, the man pushing his advantage. A small cut opened on Charlie's arm, a hot pain shooting through his nerves. Shining metal was about to find a new sheath in his chest when Charlie acted out of pure instinct. He slipped the attack and spun, his hands moving without the need of his brain's input. Moments later, he was the lone man standing, a sticky warmth dripping from his face and arms where the dead man's arterial spurt had splashed him. He looked at his hands, stunned, replaying what had just happened. One of the jagged tray pieces jutted from the unblinking man's neck, the metal driven deep, first with his hands, then followed up by a quick kick to the dull edge, driving it deep and nearly severing the man's head from his neck. It had happened so fast, Charlie didn't even know what he did until it was over. The onlookers were likewise shocked. Everyone knew Charlie would not kill, and now here he was, a dead man at his feet, and by his own hands. Charlie turned and threw up, mortified.
Everyone out, a voice bellowed.
When Captain Saruman used that tone, no one dared hesitate. Charlie straightened up, waiting for the attack that never came. Instead, the captain studied him, a curious little grin on his lips. "Nicely done," he finally said, looking at the body on the ground. "First-rate improvisation, avoided most damage to yourself, kept the fight short." "Yes, nicely done indeed." "You're not angry?" Charlie quietly asked. "I've watched you these past weeks," the captain replied, ignoring his question. "You have far greater skill than most of the others. A highly unusual fighting style you choose to use to run away and avoid harming others. But nevertheless, the potential was there. And now you've proven me right. I think you may have substantial value to me yet." Charlie realized what had just happened. This was a setup. A test. A little smile curved Captain Saruman's lips. "Clean up this mess and have that arm bandaged. You need to be presentable when we make planetfall." He left Charlie alone with the dead man. "Presentable?" Charlie quietly repeated. "What have I gotten myself into?"